Welcome to the Rain in Threes podcast with Alan Ray and Mike O'Connell.
Hello and welcome to season two of the Rain in Threes podcast. I'm your host, Mike O'Connell, here with the Villanova basketball legend, Alan Ray. A-Ray and I have another very special guest for you all tonight, the head coach, Kyle Neptune. Coach Nep, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Happy to do it. Can't wait to get started.
Definitely appreciate you having us. I mean, you coming on the show with us. You know, we're going to talk about that game we played against each other when you was with Lehigh. You know, I don't think there's a lot of people that know about it, but...
Why would we need to know about that, A-Ray? I don't think we need to talk about that.
We definitely going to have to get into that. Okay. We definitely are.
That's okay.
But let's start a little bit about you, man. Where'd you grow up at? You know, where'd you go to high school? How'd you get to basketball? You know, I like to ask a lot of people that, like, how'd you get your path started to basketball?
So I grew up in Brooklyn, New York.
BK.
Brooklyn, New York. You know, at that time, and it sounds crazy to tell guys nowadays, now everyone always plays in gyms. I don't think I played. I think until I was maybe 18 or 19 years old, most of my basketball was played outside. So I would just go out to our neighborhood park and I'd be out there all day just playing. You know, probably started, I don't know, 10, 11 years old being out there. And as I went, you know, just started playing more and more leagues. And, you know, eventually that led to me being at Brooklyn Friends High School, which we won a state championship, which I'm really proud of in my senior year, even though it was a C division, but I'll still take it. And then I could continue my career at Lehigh University.
Okay, definitely. And, you know, I could relate with that about, you know, going out and just wanting to play in the park. It ain't too many gyms growing up in New York. So a lot of us got our start out in the park playing against the local neighborhood guys, which is surprising because them guys actually know how to play. Like, them dudes, they're actually good. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, they know how to play, teach you a lot. So, yeah, the same here with me growing up in New York, just going to the parks and playing. And let's talk about Lehigh. You know, how'd you get to Lehigh? You know, how was that experience and that recruitment process?
Oh, Lehigh was a cool recruitment process. I had a pretty good high school career. You know, competed again at Brooklyn Friends, which is a small private school in New York, in Brooklyn, right by the Brooklyn Bridge. Me and, you know, our last class there, which is my senior class, won the championship our senior year. By then, I was, you know, already committed to going to Lehigh. I went to different camps back then, Eastern Invitational, Five Star, all those things were big back then. And I went to those camps. Lehigh happened to be one of the schools recruiting me, and, you know, I accepted a scholarship to play there.
Damn, Five Star basketball camp. I remember that camp.
Which one did you go to? Homesdale?
I think, was there one in PA or Jersey? Either way.
They were all over the place. Yeah,
I went with my friends, and, like, that was a bad idea because they just wanted to go there and, like, goof around and stuff like that. I remember, like, getting in trouble in those camps all the time. I definitely do. And we played against you. I don't know if there's a lot of people that know. We actually played against each other a couple times. When was the first time we played against each other? You was telling me. And you told me the place.
There's a famous tournament in New York City. Anyone that's involved with New York City basketball knows it's called IS8. IS8 is just the school that it's at in Queens.
Yeah, small public school.
Small public school. The gym might be half the size of regulation.
Yeah.
But it is, especially back then, one of the most big time tournaments you can possibly go to. It's mostly, and there's different divisions. But at that time that was like the high school division. The caveat for that specific day that we played against each other. And I will say this, you played a lot. I was on the bench watching most of the time. But that specific day, LeBron James came and played with our AAU team, Juice All-Stars. And we had Sebastian Telfair, Chris Taff, like Caron Clark, Ramel Bradley, a lot of guys that played in Brooklyn around that time. And Sebastian
Sumter. Kurt Sumter was on that team.
He was on your team.
Yeah, he was on my team. That's right.
He was on your team. See, look, you don't even remember.
Bro, I'm 40.
Come on, I'm 40. So, but I remember that because, you know, it was the most one of the most intense environments. Like, there was no out of bounds. People were jam-packed into the gym, and LeBron had came down to shoot the now famous it was either the Sports Illustrated cover or the Slam cover. I forget which one, but he had one with Sebastian.
Yeah.
So he came down to shoot that cover, and he ended up playing in the tournament with against you guys. And you guys had a pretty good team too.
Yeah.
So it was like a pretty big time game, and you know, a lot of people talk about that. So
I
do believe we won the game though, A-Ray.
Y'all probably did. Y'all was stacked. Y'all had a Sebastian, Bronny.
Yeah.
Did was Showtime Daryl Hill on that team?
He was on your team.
Okay. See, I don't even remember who was on the teams. But yeah. I remember Kurt Sumter being there. I think Jay Frey was there.
Yeah,
that was a big experience. Like you said, like you couldn't even see the out of bounds lines because everybody was standing.
There was no out of bounds.
Yeah, it was.
Even on our bench, we had to stand up on our own bench at times because we couldn't move.
Yeah,
it was crazy. Yeah. It was a memorable game for New York City. People reference it a lot.
If you can make it in ISA, you can make it anywhere. You can make it anywhere. You make it 100%. Anywhere.
That was one of those tournaments that your rankings didn't matter. If you thought you were going to come in there and, you know, play too cute or not be tough, like that, you would get gobbled up. And it could have been, it could have been like a big time player in high school that played at whatever big time program, or it could have been honestly a kid that didn't even play in high school, but he was just 17 years old.
For sure.
Playing, and either way, there would be battles.
For sure.
Yeah.
Go ahead, OC. I feel like I'm gonna keep going.
Nah. I love it, man. You guys are teaching a history lesson here on New York basketball. It's a pleasure to listen to, man. But you know, we got to get into it, Coach. Like in year three of your 4-year career at Lehigh, you faced off against Avery when he was at Villanova in his senior year. Can you tell us about that game and what specifically did A-Ray do in that game as well? I think we gotta reference this.
I know this now a lot because Coach Mike Nardi is also on our staff.
Right.
And so is Dwayne Anderson. So they often reference this game. So I don't have this much of a, you know, my memory is not this good, but now that they've referenced this game so much, I do know pretty much how the game went. And I do remember that Allen had something around 8 threes in the game.
Set a record.
That was the team with A-Ray, Kyle Lowry, Mike Nardi, obviously Randy Foy, Dante Cunningham was on that team. Dwayne Anderson was also on that team. So that was a hell of a team. We came in there as underdogs to say the least, and they quickly let us know it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big moment for me. Just being able to like set a record, a 3-point record. So those of you that don't know, 8 is the school record, and that was the game that I set the record, which was 8 threes. But I shot 16 threes that game, so I went 50%. But it got to a point where I was just like, man, like I'm gonna try to break the record because people was telling me that I was close. So I was just shooting threes that whole game. But
I'm glad I could be a part of that for you, Avery. I'm glad I could be a part of that.
Nah, it's all good, man. We all got to be part of history sometimes.
Yeah, and Coach, so 4 years at Lehigh. When did you play a little bit of overseas ball right after you graduated? When did you know that you wanted to get into coaching?
Well, so for me, I did my 4 years at Lehigh and left, and you know, I was a normal basketball player who thought, I'm just going to play forever. I wanted to continue to play and went overseas. And, when people say overseas, that is such a, obviously, hearing that it's a big place after you leave America.
Yes.
Everyone thinks that there's, I feel like the thought process, especially at the time, was like, all right, well, you just go over there. You're definitely going to get picked up. You're definitely going to, and there's so many different leagues. And even within each country, there's different, there's leagues within the league. And then there's leagues that go throughout Europe. And I wasn't really that educated on that at the time, but it was a great experience, you know, and what I did learn quite quickly was that, you know, coaching was probably a better path for me. And I learned that pretty quickly. And when I came back that summer, and I went to like a couple different spots throughout that year, it was a great experience. And but when I came back, I started, you know, telling different guys that I knew in the basketball community in New York, that I was wanted to get into coaching, wanted to get my degree actually and be a grad assistant. But it just worked out that, you know, through those guys and, you know, me and Alan have some of the same mentors between like Gary, between Gary and with the Long Island Panthers, mm-hmm. And, you know, Dwayne Morton, Khalid Green, and some of these, and, you know, Anton Rashawn, all these guys helped me kind of get my foot in the door at Villanova. And I was lucky enough to, earn a spot on Coach Wright's staff as a video coordinator.
Yeah, that was great. Go ahead, OC.
Yeah, no, like you went from, so you're at Niagara, then you got the job under Coach Wright in 2013. You were there for 8 years. And then you were at Fordham, and now you're the head man at Villanova. What changed? Well, what was the most important thing that changed about you going from that first job at Niagara, then getting that job with Coach Wright, until you wake up and all of a sudden you have your dream job, basically, and you're the head guy at Villanova?
Definitely my dream job. You know, I would say it was a building process. Starting as the video coordinator in 2008, was there for 2 years. First year went to Final Four. Next year, I think we set a school record with our start. Still went to the NCAA tournament that year, and then leaving for 3 years and being out in Niagara University, which was a great building block for me. Being under Coach Mihalik there, had great success there our last year there, and then being fortunate enough to come back and you know, honestly, I think being part of a great experience over that 8 years with Coach Wright, I think, you know, I would say that. You could argue that he had a better 10 years than almost anyone else in college basketball history. So I was, you know, really honored to be a part of that run, and then have an opportunity to go and be a head coach at Fordham in Allen's backyard.
Mm-hmm. Right in the Bronx.
Right in the Bronx. But also being a New York City guy, I took a lot of pride in being there. And, you know, Fordham's a very similar to school to Villanova, just in terms of academic stature, but also kind of the bones of the university and the culture of the university. And then having the opportunity to come back and being the head coach of Villanova, you know, is again a dream come true for me. So,
What was that process like? Like, you wake up, you get a call, hey, the job at Villanova is open. Like, what's going through your head? How did that process go through? Because I know it was quick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Coach Wright, I mean, I remember even back, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years before I left as being an assistant, Coach Wright almost every, like it would be every year at some point in the season, he'd be like, oh, I'm done with this. I can't do much more of this. And it'll be every year. So we're like, all right, Coach, whatever. Like, let's get these, us as assistants would be like, all right, let's get this team back on track. Let's help Coach. So he stops talking about this stuff. And so when I heard a little bit of rumblings throughout the year, but I thought it was just Coach Wright's normal, like, oh, I'm done with this. I can't take this anymore. And, you know, obviously throughout the year, there's ups and downs, et cetera. So that's what I thought it was. But, you know, I got a call one day and was asked to come in and, you know, almost didn't really believe it. And it just happened kind of with a snap. So very quick, straightforward process that happened pretty quickly.
Yeah, no hard feelings with Fordham. I assume everybody understand the situation, and you know, both teams are doing good now. So it was definitely a good move, and good to see you in on the sidelines at Villanova. That's for sure.
Yeah, and Fordham, like I loved it there. It was awesome being in New York City. And then, you know, we
how much you went to that White Castle across the street from the gym?
I did pass it quite a bunch, but you know, in my current diet, I don't often, you know, do the White Castle, but I did pass it a good amount on my way to more healthy options. But I appreciated my time there. The one thing I'm was really fortunate with our staff, or we had Villanova guys up and down our staff with Keith Ergo and Henry Lowe and Rob DePersia worked with us here at Villanova and at Fordham. So we had guys that really knew what we were looking to implement and kind of the crux to what we wanted our program to stand for. And then we had other assistants as well that were Big East guys, Ronald Ramon and Trey Woodall. So we had like a Big East tough staff that, you know, kind of I think really set the tone in a good way at Fordham. And I was really proud of how they evolved there throughout the last couple of years. They've done, Keith Ergo's done an amazing job there.
That's awesome. And you know what's funny, Coach? I feel like it's like there's a misconstrued notion among Villanovans that like the plan was always for you to take over for Coach Wright, and that they almost were like, all right, Coach Knapp, you go coach at Fordham, get some head coaching experience, and then like when Coach Wright is ready to leave, then we're going to bring you in and you'll be the head man. So I guess there's no truth to that, because it was almost like you got a call one day and you're like, all right, I guess this is happening.
Well, if there is truth to that, I wasn't privy to the plan. I will say I'm really happy that it did transpire that way. Right. But I was not privy to that that plan. So, like I said, for me, I'm not going to lie and say I didn't hear rumblings, but when it got real and I got a call is when I knew, you know, it was a real option for me.
Let's talk a little bit about Villanova basketball. So one of the big key news this year was Eric Dixon coming back. What is his role going to look like this year? Is it going to be any different from anything that we've seen before? You know, obviously we got a new transfer coming in, so just want to know, like, what does that look like with Eric Dixon this year? And, you know, how happy are you to have him back?
Well, first and foremost, definitely happy to have Eric back. You know, it was a big decision for him. We were excited for him to, you know, pursue his NBA dreams and goals. And we try to support him throughout the process. And I can't say I wasn't, you know, equally as excited when he decided to come back. And I know it was a hard decision for him. And like, he had some legitimate NBA interests. And, you know, I think it came down to him, you know, wanting to continue to get better here. So, you know, I think one thing that Eric has proven throughout his career is that he's gotten better. And that goes back to his last year in high school and changing his body, coming in here and literally getting, you know, light years better almost every year. So we're looking forward to him to continue to expand his game and continue to get better. And anytime you talk about an all-league guy who's coming out, two times all-league guy coming back, and a guy that's such a hard worker, such a good leader, just such a good Villanovan, you know, obviously we're ecstatic to have him back.
Yeah. And like, where do you see him playing at this year? You know, next to Enoch on the court this year. Do you see him at the four, or is he gonna play the five this year, or just haven't thought about it yet?
Yeah, I mean, we'll continue to evaluate our team as we go here, but I would definitely you know, anticipate him being you know, switching up between multiple positions. I think he's proven throughout his time here that you can put him pretty much anywhere on the floor, then he has immense value. He's a great accomplished shooter at this point. He's a good passer as well. Obviously really good scoring inside. So we anticipate him being a multifaceted player, you know, a basketball player is what we would call him, that he can play all over the floor. And we would definitely anticipate him playing a good amount at the four.
One thing I can't say about Dixon, my bad, OC, is that, like, every single year, like, that kid has progressed. Like, he's gotten better in certain areas every single year. I think coming last year, he also made a big step with his body. He came back, his body was looking completely different than the year before. His percentages go up every year. So, you know, I think it's a good move for him coming back. Definitely going help out with the team. But I was ecstatic when he decided to come back. What about you, OC?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And coach, it makes sense why you guys are still evaluating the roster as a whole, because Tyler Perkins, Jameer Bricus, Enoch Biake, Wuga Poplar. I mean,
how you say his name? Enoch.
Boyake?
Boyake?
Yep.
Is that it, coach?
Yep, yep.
All right.
So a lot of new faces, obviously, among, you know, Josiah Mosley, Malcolm Thomas, Matthew Hodge. I'm going to take a crack at this one. Alexander Gavalyugov. Gavalyugov.
There you go. We got it the second time.
Gavalyugov. There you go. Yep. So lots of new faces. You guys are still trying to, it's, you know, late June, still trying to figure out what this team is going to look like in terms of rotations and where everyone fits in terms of their roles that they carve out. But one guy who we thought was going to be part of the roster, Max Scholga from VCU, he decided to return to VCU rather than come play at Villanova. What can you tell us about the decision that he made and what came of it?
Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to directly speak to any individual that wasn't matriculated with us, but we are extremely excited about this year's roster. Guys that end up leaving or make different decisions. There's a lot that goes into that. Sometimes it's some personal issues. Just feeling comfortable at different places. Anytime someone leaves and decides to move on or decides to not choose us, we wish them the best on their journey. No hard feelings, and we move on to the guys that are actually here.
Yeah, man, that makes sense.
You better than me. I'd have said that a lot different.
that makes sense. And coach, all right, so we got one more remaining roster spot that's open. Do we know, is there a plan? Are you guys talking to Arthur Kaluma still? Are you talking to other players? What are your guys' thoughts on what your plan is for that one last remaining roster spot?
Again, just the NCAA rules, I'm not allowed to comment on specific players that are matriculated with us, but right. We do have an open roster spot, and we'll continue to evaluate if they're guys that can help us for next season. We'll take a hard look at it. So I'm sorry that I can't be more specific, but
it's all good. We get it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Let's talk about Jameer Bricus for a little bit. He seems like a true point guard, pass first, can handle the ball well, limits turnovers, and can shoot the three. Like, what have you seen from him that probably us on the outside wouldn't have really noticed about him? And, like, what makes him a really great player that you think he can thrive at Villanova?
Well, I mean, you said you broke his game down pretty well. I think the thing that people are going to be surprised about is his scoring ability as well. It's a guy who had 40 points in college game. I don't have to tell you as a scorer what that is. Like, if you can get 40 in a college game, I don't know, really, honestly, I don't care what level, D1, 2, or 3, that's impressive. He's a tried and true player at this at the highest level, and a guy that has done it and has been a point guard at this level for a while. So I think, like you mentioned, his playmaking ability, his ability to use ball screens, his ability to set his teammates up, but I think his scoring ability is pretty profound as well.
Yeah, I don't want to compare him to Kyle, but you can see that little grit in him. He got a little attitude with him. And, I think we need that on that team, definitely, especially at that point guard position.
Yeah, I think that swagger and that confidence is very important for any player, especially your point guard. We're really excited to have him. He's been obviously only a couple weeks now, but I will say that he's definitely made his presence felt.
That's awesome. I was honestly thinking Corey Fisher too, that undersized grit that he has. Yeah. But Bricus, coming over from
not
the
Corey
South.
Fisher body.
But Jameer Bricus coming over from LaSalle. Coach Ashley Howard obviously has a relationship with him because he coached him when he was at LaSalle. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how maybe that played a role in bringing him over?
Yeah, Coach Howard recruited him to LaSalle and coached him while he was there. I actually coached against that team when I was at Fordham. I think the first A-10 game that we coached that year. So, I knew his game pretty well, but obviously Coach Howard knows his game very well. And I think an added bonus is that, Coach Howard ran a lot of the same things and had a lot of the same thought process and schemes that we do now while he was at LaSalle. And so Jameer has kind of a leg up understanding some of the concepts and some of the terminology and some of the thought processes that we have here at Villanova. So it's really helped him to have that synergy between him and Coach Howard.
Our freshman class, I'm really intrigued by these guys. Mosley, Hodge, Thomas, and the European kid. Alex, yeah.
Sash.
Sash, so,
goes by Sash. Yep.
All right. I'm gonna take note of that. So we only get to see highlights of like Mosley and Hodge. That's only real players that they got like highlights online and stuff like that. I like Thomas because obviously he comes from like a basketball background. His dad played in the league, his mom. So they teaching him good over there. He's getting good reps in over there. And then like Mosley, I see him. He's like a big pit bull, stocky, plays physical, but like I see him handling the ball sometimes. I see him in the post sometimes. I see him coming up pick and roll sometimes. So like a player like him, real intriguing. And how tall is he?
He's 6'6", 6'7".
Yeah.
He's a big boy. He has, to your point. He has great size. He has a great body for his age that will only get better over time. And he has a very versatile skill set. He was the tallest guy on his high school team, but arguably also one of the most skilled and literally played every position. That versatility, has kind of been one of the calling cards for Villanova basketball, is having guys that can that have size but can also play any position on the floor, and he kind of fits that mold, as do the other guys as well.
Can he play on the ball? Do you think maybe, I don't know about this year, but as when his career progresses, can he play on the ball?
No doubt. He can handle the ball. He can make reads and decisions, and he's a basketball player. He's a guy that can do a little bit of everything.
I like him. And Hodge, what stands out to me with Hodge is his athleticism. And he's about 6'8", athleticism. Looks like his IQ is pretty good. Can shoot the ball. I've seen him get to the rim. Like, he plays with like this mode. I'm not gonna say Josh Hart motor, because Josh Hart motor is very rare. But it looks like he plays with like some intensity, and he really gets after it when it comes to an energy standpoint.
Yeah, Matt, again, keeping with the versatility theme, he's a guy that in high school, he was the tallest guy, but, he played literally the point guard at times. And then with his size and to your point, his grit, he can pretty much guard anyone in the post, and with his agility, can guard guys on the perimeter as well. So his shooting ability is there, and then his playmaking and passing ability is profound as well. So we're really excited about him. I think he's a guy that can definitely help us and can contribute right away, but also his future is extremely bright.
Yeah, and Coach, his younger brother too, Jaden, I'm sure you guys know, someone to keep your eye on moving forward, because he's a stud as well. So very exciting. And also, just now, this is just a couple weeks ago when Sash committed. It was almost like out of nowhere, this kid from Bulgaria. And, we were looking up highlights and watching him play. A-Ray was, like, very impressed by the way that he was able to take on. A-Ray, what was the tournament he was at?
It was Adidas, the Euro Camp, right?
Exactly, the Euro Camp. And he put on a show, made a name for himself, and you guys all of a sudden are like, yeah, he's going to be a Wildcat. Can you walk us through what you guys did just to make sure that we got this guy coming in basically like at a drop of a hat, and now he's going to be here playing come September, November?
Yeah, we had heard about him months back, and as he kept playing throughout the season over there, and definitely the more recent camps, et cetera, we kept hearing his name more and more and more, and we started to get calls about him, and We did a lot of due diligence in terms of watching film, and we made the decision that we wanted them to be a part of our ball club. So we're really excited to have him here. I really believe the future is bright for him as well.
Is there any truth that out of these four guys, he is most likely to have like the more immediate impact his freshman year on the court?
You know what? I don't think it's fair to start, labeling who or what or starter or whatever else. We haven't even practiced together as an entire team yet, and probably won't do so, maybe until the fall. So, we'll give everyone a fair shake, and our guys will compete, and we'll start to figure out our lineups, etc., closer to game time.
Jamie Young, guys brought in an experienced coach. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Jamie was on that team with me when I was with the Celtics.
Yeah.
So, we know each other. That's kind of cool that he's here now. But talk a little bit about Jamie and what is he going to bring to this staff that you feel like is going to add some value to us?
Yeah, Coach Young is a really good coach. He has over 20 years of NBA experience. He has a national championship, but he has a world championship ring as well with the Celtics, and has worked under some big time coaches. Has studied their philosophies, and then has college experience as well. So, we're really excited to have him. I think he brings another basketball mind, someone who has that experience. In terms of game planning, scheming, and coming up with strategies as we just tackle this new world of college sports.
So does Coach Young have like a specific role carved out for him already? Does he have an official title, or is he kind of just going to be just one of the guys in the room that adds value in his own way?
Yeah, I think he's an assistant coach. So
right.
As with most assistant coaches, we try not to label, only do this or you only do that. And I don't think that would be fair with Coach Young. He has such a wealth of experience and knowledge that he can help our staff with, from X's and O's to mentorship with the players, to development, to game prep, to in-game strategies and execution. And I think he's just a all-around value add for us up and down our staff.
What's the biggest difference this offseason in terms of focus compared to last season with the additions of Wuga, Enoch, the freshmen, the transfers that we got in? What is the mindset going into next year, and why do you think we could be successful with those guys?
Well, I mean, I feel like we got guys with high level character, but then looking at their careers and what they've done, I really think they're valuable pieces for us. Starting with Jamir Brickus, he's a guy that's played the point guard and was a big time scorer in high school, but then has also been the point guard starting from a really like right away at LaSalle, and already knows a good amount of our system, and having a guy that is accomplished pick and roll player, bona fide shooter, bona fide decision maker, is just so important for college basketball. And Wuga Poplar is a guy who has already been a proven winner and been a contributor to a Final Four team. And having that experience in winning is very important, and knowing what it takes, and is again accomplished shooter, accomplished defender, and a high level talent. He's a guy who was in the G League Combine last year, and had similar to Eric, had a real decision make whether he was going to stay in the draft or not. So, Enoch with his size. And his ability to protect the rim and his versatility defensively, and giving us a rim roller and a guy that could finish around the rim, and his toughness and his attitude towards the game. Really excited about those guys. And I love our freshmen as well. You know, those guys, you know, you can make arguments of them, either one of them being, you know, the most talented guys on our team in their own ways. So, you know, I really love our bunch. I love their togetherness thus far. I love how they've come in and competed in our short stint in practice thus far. But, you know, I'm excited to see how this thing continues to come together, and I'm really excited for this season.
Yeah, and last offseason, we heard similar things about Bamba, Burton, Hart, and Ware. Like, those guys, they bought into the Villanova system, right? They were high-character guys, first and foremost. But they also, they brought a lot to the table when it comes to on-the-court stuff as well. But I feel like if you look at this year's group versus last year's group, you know, the differences are kind of like the positions that they play mostly, right? Can you tell us in terms of, like, what the difference is in this year's group versus last year's group when it comes to how they're going to affect the play on the court?
Yeah, I think this I think those guys did a lot for us, and we appreciate their time here. We appreciate them choosing Villanova. In terms of this year's group, I really like, our guys' grit and toughness on the defensive end, but on the offensive end, I really like their shooting ability and playmaking ability. And I think that's something that's really going to help us this year. You talk about Jameer being a proven decision maker at this level, and Wilga Poplar being a proven shooter at this level, along with Eric being a proven you know, all-league player this level. And Enoch, he has a high level of talent, a guy that was highly touted out of high school. You can see the way he moves is very impressive. We haven't even talked about Jordan Longino, who is a guy that, he's battled injuries throughout his career, but when right, has shown that he's a big time talent as well. And Tyler Perkins is another guy who, I actually fared very well versus us. He's a big time competitor, a guy that, he's similar to, it's hard to say Kyle Lowry, or Josh Hart, but you know, he's a guy that brings toughness and nastiness to our team, along with his basketball talent as well. So, and we talked about the freshman, but you know, up and down our roster, we have guys who, we're really excited about.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about this roster. So I'm right there with you. I just like the length, the size, the athleticism, and I can attest to what you said about last year. You know, we got a lot of open shots, but we just wasn't able to knock them shots down. This year, you know, we're bringing in some guys that have been proven shooters, being able to knock down some shots. I think that's going to help us out a lot. Being with Brickish driving and all those guys being playmakers, being able to find each other on the wings, like you said, Enoch rolling, patrolling in the paint, Dixon as well. So I'm really excited. The freshmen, you know, I feel like we could have a pretty nice rotation going with them guys. But like I know the situation is early, so I'm not even gonna like speculate it, but it does look promising. It really does. We had Chris Walker come on the show, he had said something about, you know, he felt like the offense didn't look comfortable at times during this year. What do you think about this year's offense? We all know the traditional Villanova offense, like we've seen with Coach Wright, you know, a lot of guard post-ups, that has become really big. There's also been some sayings about, you know, maybe we should change up the offense based on the personnel that we have. What's your thoughts going into next year about, like, how, what kind of style you want to play?
Yeah, this upcoming season, like I mentioned a little bit before, I'm really excited about the guys that we have the ability to play make. You talk about Jameer Brickus, but also Tyler Perkins, Jordan Longino, Wilga Poplar, Matt Hodge. These are all guys who are guys that are Eric Dixon. You know, these guys are all big time.
Can't leave Longino out.
Yeah,
I forgot about him.
Yeah, so these guys are all like decision makers as well as scorers. You know, I think it's pretty easy when if you just have scores at times, you know, when the read is to pass, sometimes it's hard for certain guys. But and I think there's a big difference between a scorer and a decision maker. A decision maker can be a scorer, but sometimes it's hard for a scorer to be a decision maker. So, you know, I think I like our playmaking ability up and down our roster this year. You know, and, you know, it's my job as the head coach to put those guys in situations where they get to show that. And that's honestly what we're in the midst of evaluating and trying to implement.
And Coach A-Ray, another guy that we haven't mentioned is Nana Njoku. How is he doing in terms of health? Is he going to be ready to go by the season? I've heard the reports that he's not going to be able to do too much during the summer. Can you give us an update on Njoku?
Yeah, he's a guy, again, similar to Nana, similar to Jordan, that has battled some injuries. But, you know, when healthy, he's showed up to for us in big-time ways and big-time games. I remember kind of a couple stints in the game in the North Carolina game.
Creighton,
UCLA. Like, he's had big-time moments for us this year. Unfortunately, injury has really prevented him from doing more. So he's another guy that's coming back that we have, you know, high hopes for. You know, we've all seen his potential in spurts, and we're excited for him to expand his game.
And this is like the gift and the curse to me, especially now with how basketball is. Like, you got guys coming in every year, new guys. So it's kind of hard to develop a solid core, but it looks like we got a lot of young guys on this squad that we should be able to build a core with. It's just about like keeping these guys around. You know, and with NIL and all this other stuff, like, any school could offer these guys any money and they can leave. But like, how hard have you found it to like keep a culture when guys are just like in and out?
Well, I mean, I feel like the only thing constant in life is change. To complain about the changes, it really doesn't help, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's our job with the current landscape to do the best job we can of holding our culture to the highest standard we possibly can. I think a big piece of that is recruiting and talking to the guys about what to expect when they get here and having them choose us for the right reasons. I think that we've accomplished that. And I'm looking forward to this season. I love where our guys have competed thus far. I think to answer your question specifically, though, I think the best way to do it is in recruiting and making sure the guys are aligned with the vision of the program before they get here.
Yeah, that is true. That is true, because you got like they got to want to come to the school to want to play for Villanova, not because they want to like earn NIL. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever other reasons that they have.
Yeah, and even at our level at this point, NIL is, yeah, especially at the highest levels, is almost like how facilities were in the past, right? Like, you're not going to go to another school at this level and have horrible facilities. It might not be exactly the same, but it's going to be right around there, right?
I never heard nobody say it, break it down that way about like NIL now and back then. It could be compared to like the facilities, because I damn sure wasn't going somewhere with some bogus facilities.
Exactly. So, but over time, you know, it may be a little bit different here or there, but you know, at the highest levels, the facilities are pretty much the same. You know, a little here, you maybe a little bit locker room, better locker room, or this weight room's a little bit better, or whatever it is, but it's pretty similar. It's not like night and day. Same with NIL. At this point, at the highest levels, it's pretty similar. We really hope that, you know, we try to lock in on guys that want to be at Villanova, because they want to, they love the campus, they love the campus community, they love our program. And, obviously with NIL, we want our guys to be taken care of as well. And Randy Foy, who spearheads our collective, I think has done a great job of that. And we're definitely proud of, the friends of Nova collective that he has kind of spearheaded. But we do want guys to come here that want to be part of our program.
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, I was just about to talk about Randy. He came on our show a couple months ago and was talking about Friends of Nova and was talking about, you know, just, hey, how can we address the fans head on? I think you come on Rain and Threes with us here, Randy coming on, Coach Ashley Howard came on, Coach Wright. We've had players come on. It's a great outlet, I believe, for fans to hear what you guys have to say, and really you can address them back. And that's what I love so much about this. And A-Ray, and I'm just so happy to be working with him. And yeah. Randy and A-Ray, you know, their friendship goes back to the days of before they even were at Villanova, where they were still getting recruited and they were playing against each other the same way you guys played against each other. And, you know, what comes with Villanova is a lot of dedicated, passionate fans, right? Like, that's something that, along with facilities, NIL, like upper echelon type programs like Villanova, you're going to deal with a lot of fans that are passionate, but some might be called insane, crazy, irrational as well. And I think that's completely fair. But what Randy said,
I would like to say, like, I would disagree a little bit with that. I would say, you know, we have unbelievable fans.
Oh, absolutely. And
the same passion that has our fans to, you know, fly to the Bahamas to come support us there. And, you know, we've been to Bahamas a couple times now. We've been other places. And you know, I don't care who we go against. At best, at worst, it's 50-50. The time, it's a pro Villanova crowd, no matter where we go, in those type of scenarios. So, with that passion and that, you know, that diligence on our fan side, like, yeah, there's frustration, you know, and I'll be the first to say that, you know, we missed the mark this past year in terms of, you know, the standards of our program and what we hope to do going into each season. And, you know, as the head coach, I got to accept that. And if people are upset, yeah, I would be upset too. I'm upset, right? So, you know, it's on me to figure this out. And, you know, I think our staff has done a good job at addressing some needs in this offseason. And we're ready to get to work and right the ship.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I was gonna say about Randy. Yeah, I didn't mean any disrespect to our fans. I'm glad you were able to jump in there, Coach. Honestly, I'm sure a lot of people appreciate that. But, you know, how do you stay confident? How do you stay positive on a daily, on a weekly basis, going to practice and not second guess yourself moving forward?
I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's my job as the head coach to be the level setter and to set the standard for kind of what we're going to do in each day. And, you know, we talk to our guys about attitude and you know, attitude for us really means, you know, doing the next best thing each day to help you reach your goals and your dreams and even in moment to moment. So I can't preach that as the head coach and not live by that as well. So whatever happens, it could be good. It could be bad. You know, it could be something that's great for our program, something that's not so great. It could be something in a game that's good or not so great. My thought process is always, all right, what's next and what's the best next course of action to take to help put us in the best possible position to be successful?
Yeah. Last two seasons, man, I mean, we've seen the good, we've seen the bad, you know, we've seen the ugly. What have you learned with these last 2 years that you can take and use going into next year, just based off of, I don't know, any experiences that you learned from the past 2 years?
Yeah, I would say, you know, nothing good has come to and just been snap and easy. And I always have something I've, you know, was instilled in me as a kid. And has reigned throughout my adult life as well as, you know, tough people are the people in life that at the end succeed. And you look at any origin story for people who have achieved great things that, you know, they had to go through something to get there. That's how I look at it. We've definitely taken some hits and taken some lumps here and there throughout the last couple of years. That's okay. We get back up and say, all right, what's the next best action? How are we going to attack this thing? And we're going to put our best foot forward to move forward towards the future.
Yeah, and I definitely believe in you guys, you know, and you know, I'm not like everybody tries to kill me all the time talking about, oh, like I'm just so biased to Villanova and all this other stuff. But you know, I kind of been through this situation before when Coach Wright was there, and then they always try to say, oh, the situation is not the same. But at the end of the day, we wasn't getting the results that we wanted to get. So that's the same to me. And like how I see it is like you just gotta keep pushing, you know, and if you have a bad day, then you move on to the next day and forget about that bad day and just keep on pushing, keep on working, trying to get better every single day. And that's what we did when we was with Coach Wright, my freshman sophomore year. We didn't get it right away, but you know, we kept pushing and we trusted in what Coach Wright was saying. Junior year came around, like things just changed. Things clicked for us. We got older. We had goals we wanted to, and we got sick of losing. So, you know, I feel like that type of atmosphere would be very beneficial at Villanova, and I feel like y'all will have that kind of atmosphere this year, and especially with the guys there. Mike Nardi there, got a lot of Villanova legends in there, alumni. So I just want to say, just like keep pushing and just stay patient and just stay the course, you know, just like just keep pushing and believing in what you do, because that's one thing Coach Wright said. Coach Wright was like, man, if I was going down, if I was getting fired, I was going out my way. Like I wasn't going to let you guys run me out and do it how you wanted to. So, you know, trusting what you know, trusting what you learn, because we know we learn a lot from Coach Wright. Coach Wright, you know, he you can learn a lot from that dude, so much knowledge. So I'm fully aboard and I'm ready to start things off.
Appreciate that, A-Rack. Means a lot coming from you, man. And you know, in our program, the most important opinions are from the guys that played here. And you know, we really have a mantra that we play for those that come before us, because we know those guys put on the jersey, and guys like you really help put this program in the position that it is today. And you know, if you like, when I think about how we're playing, I always want guys like you, when you put on the TV to watch our game, or the phone now, I guess. I always want you guys to look at our game and be like, all right, those dudes are playing Villanova basketball. And that's really the most important thing to me, win, lose, or draw.
Yeah, it's not even about wins or losses. My bad, OC. It's just
No,
like
no, you're right.
the effort that you give out on the court. Like we don't care about the wins and losses a little bit, yeah, but it's that effort that we see. You could lose by 10 points, but if the effort was there, you know what I'm saying? It's all right. It's like we just got a little bit to fix.
Absolutely. And coach, final one from me is, in your 2 years as a head coach of Villanova, what are you most proud of?
I look at our guys each year, and as a coach, I think people coach because they want to be a part of guys' development. And when I look in our guys' eyes at the end of the season, and the guys that move on, and I feel like even if it, honestly it wasn't even if it wasn't the season we want to have, if I feel like they've gotten better as people, that's what I'm the most proud of. If they have more armor to move on, and be better in life, I think that's what any coach wants. When I think about even our guys, that are in the NBA now, or in the professional world, we have a lot of guys who come back, and talking through those times, and knowing that maybe you were a small piece of their development, and their ability to be better people as they move forward in life. That's why I coach, and that's what I love being a part of.
Speaking about those guys, how you feel about well, I know how you feel, but did you ever think that would happen? Mikal, Josh, Jay, all these guys on the same team? Like
I mean,
that's ridiculous. And you
yeah,
coach these guys.
it's absolutely insane. I remember at the end of their run, I was like, a bunch of us were like, man, maybe Mikal could get over there too. Who knows? And we almost said it as a joke. And the fact that it did happen is a joke. It's crazy. I still remember specific practice battles with those guys, and with first Josh, and then Josh and Mikal. And then Josh, Mikal, and and Jalen. I remember a specific play where Jalen, and I hear Coach Wright has told this story too, but it was such a like a profound play in our program. Like, yeah. Jalen ripped Josh and was going down on the other side. And anyone who knows Josh Hart knows that he can lose it. You know, it's yeah. not fake. Like, he loses it, and his competitive nature take over. And, like, everyone in the gym was like, no! I think we were blowing whistles because we knew Josh would just go tackle him.
Yeah,
and I remember Josh and Mikhail going at it his first year. Mikhail's first year, and Josh was like such a bully with those guys. And I still remember, like by mid-season, Mikhail had like finally like started to be able to hold his ground, and we were like, whoa. And then for watching Jalen grow and Dante coming in and. You know, the battles that he had to go through to be the player he was by his redshirt sophomore year and having that great game. And so many good, you know, so many good memories of those guys. And I know that those guys took pride in Villanova basketball, and the relationships that they forged are really unbreakable. So I can't wait to see what the future holds for that team. I think they're going to be awesome.
Yeah, that's crazy. OC texts me like Mikhail to the Knicks. I'm like, nah, like, you joking.
But I thought yeah. it was true too. Somebody yeah. texted me. Yeah, one of my friends texted me. I was like, oh, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, right. And coach.
And then my phone just started buzzing. I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess it did happen.
Coach, I lied. One final question: is there any way you guys could use the Nova Knicks, as they call them, as a recruiting tool?
Yeah,
I think it only helps.
I
think our guys, I think we try to recruit guys that want to come to college and make their mark, but we know that guys want to be pros as well, and we want to recruit guys that want to play at the next level. Mm-hmm. And have a burning desire to play at the next level, or you're probably not going to like it here at Villanova because our guys are so singularly focused on being the best they can be. And that's what it takes to play at the next level. So to have guys that come through our program and are now succeeding at the next level, not just those guys, but Sadiq Bey, Jeremiah Robinson Earl, Jermaine Samuels, Cam Whitmore. We got other guys who have made it to that level as well. And Kyle Lowry, who's now the Wiley veteran, he's still hanging on, like, for coming up on 20 years here, which right. his size is remarkable. We haven't even talked about him. He's unbelievable as well. His longevity and his still having an impact on winning. So. Yeah. I think it definitely helps having guys who play at that next level, and even having those guys come back. And Colin Gillespie, I could keep going. So
CG.
We're really lucky to have those guys that are playing at the next level. And the Knicks, the Nova Knicks, I mean, that's almost too good to be true story. So we're definitely proud of those guys.
Hell yeah. Last cool. one before we wrap it up. I'm a busy man, so we gotta wrap this up, man. What can you say to everyone in Nova Nation, like, to put them at ease about the future of this program, or like what to look for next year?
Yeah, I would say, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, like, to not acknowledge that we haven't missed a mark, last year in particular, I would say, that would be wrong. Right.
Yeah.
We understand that as a staff, and we've gone to work to rectify some of the things that we feel like we can improve upon. And I think we've got a bunch of guys right now that are really adept at playing our way, and can add a lot to our culture, to our team, to our university. And we can't wait to get this year started and go on this journey as a bunch. And I think we have a team that, already you see them really cohesive. They really like each other. And the talent is evident as well. So we can't wait for this season. And we love our fan base, and we appreciate their support.
Skol Nova Nation.
Yes, sir. No. Coach Neptune, ladies and gentlemen. Coach, thank you so much for taking some time to join us on Rain Threes. That was incredible, and I hope to do it again soon in the future. So best of luck moving forward, Coach. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'd love to do it. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate you, Nep.
Thanks, man. Hey, Ray, you didn't have to bring up that game, man. We could have left that up. That wasn't good. That wasn't cool.
Nah, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that don't know about it. That's why.
That's how I would have liked to keep it.
Nah. They got to know where the record. Now everybody knows why the record is at 8 and how it got to 8. Everybody knows now.
That's okay. That's all right. So I'm happy if I could have been a part. I'm happy I was a part of your success, A-Rod.
It's all good. It's all good.